Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm 100, now I'm part-time jobs. I'm 100, now I'm part-time jobs. I've been working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 101.
Okay, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder. It's where I speak to bands about how they do what they do. Everyone knows it's no secret that bands are having a tough time right now. with making no money on streaming and having to go on tour all the time to make it work. And how does that make life at home? I'm not sure, but everyone's got their own story, and that's what we're here to do on 101 Part-Time Jobs. On today's episode is a band I've been telling lots of people to listen to. Got introduced to them a few months ago, and I think they're brilliant. Howdy with a double V. Their fifth album is out tomorrow. It's self-titled. I didn't realize they'd been going so long. And I think when bands have been going this long, that's where the real stories of resilience come in. So they're perfect for the show. And they're touring the UK at the end of next month. May 21st, they're in Glasgow. Then they're in Leeds, Manchester, London on the 24th, Bristol, Nottingham, Brighton, and then they head over to Paris, Utrecht, Hamburg, and Berlin. So if you're in the UK, if you're around there in Europe, you can see Howdy at the end of May. This is William and Charlie of Howdy. I hope you enjoy it. If you do, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. We put out episodes every week with all kinds of different sounding artists, all kinds of names, and we'd love you to be here for it. We're on Instagram as well at 101 Part-Time Jobs Pod, where we're putting more and more reels and video stuff up there. And we've started a YouTube where we're putting full videos of some of these interviews up. Shout out to our sponsors, 2000 Trees, brilliant independent festival in Cheltenham. That's just a few hours away from London on the train, and it's such an ace weekend. This year, the Gaslight Anthem, the Chats and Don Broco are headlining, Manchester Orchestra, Bob Villain, Hot Mulligan, Hot Milk, Cleopatra, The Excerpts, Gouge Away, Into It, Over It, loads of brilliant bands at Trees this year. If you want to go, and I recommend you do, head to 2000trees.co.uk, and if you want to get 50 quid off your weekend ticket, use the voucher code 101POD at checkout. That's all at 2000trees.co.uk, 101POD for your 50 quid off your weekend ticket. And enjoy yourself this July. All right, Charlie and William from Howdy coming right up. Cheers for being here. It's 101 Part-Time Jobs.
101 Part-Time Jobs.
We've been a band now for almost 19 years, and we finally got to a point where it's a little bit less desperate, a little bit less reaching, but I mean, you got to grind and you got to grind, you know?
Elbow grease, bit of gumption.
Exactly.
Do you remember the first kind of goal for Howdy or the band, the iterations of the bands that leading up to it, like the aim, if there was one idea that we were like, this is success to us, what was it?
I think early on we were both really, you know, inspired by the like East Coast DIY scene, you know, a lot of like the like, you know, bedroom pop, like tape, small like tape label scene up on the East Coast. And I think we wanted to be like embraced by them. And when we signed with Double Double Whammy, that was sort of a big like benchmark of success for us, I think, especially in the early days.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, it kind of the things that we thought looked really enticing, the things that we thought we wanted kind of came in waves. Like, so we, you know, at first we just kind of wanted to have fun with our friends, play shows, play house shows, grow, be better musicians. And then we got to go on tour with some bigger bands. I remember playing Bowery Ballroom with Pine Grove in like 2017 or so. And that size venue was so hard to fathom, and never really thought that we'd be there ourselves, but got to do that one for our True Love tour. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it evolves and things change for sure. But I think when the band started, it was just to have fun, make friends, be embraced by the people we liked and the music that inspired us.
It's funny how that idea of, and I had a similar thing growing up in and around London, there are these particular labels and, you know, most often ran out of someone's bedroom or someone's parents' house, and the shows. And like, that was everything to me and my friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, imagine if we could even go to one, and then you go to one and it becomes, imagine if we could play one. And then it's like, imagine if we could go on tour, release a record with the, it's funny how the goalposts keep moving.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. I know. I always said like to my family and to myself, it was really like after I graduated college, I was like, I'm going to focus on music for like the first time in my life. And that's right around the time Howdy had started. And I just like it. as long as it's like just the smallest degree of like progress, and I will keep going, you know. But I always said, like, if it plateaus for too long, I'll find something else to do. But here we are almost 10 years later. It's pretty wild.
It's mad, isn't it? Because you have these kinds of, it's not a financial goal, but at some point pretty quick on, it's going to look you straight in the face. You're like, how can we be a sustainable operation? Because everything in music is spending money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how did you kind of look at that? How did you start thinking, all right, we're adults now, you're finishing college, you're in your early 20s, you know, you want to pay rent, you don't want to be sleeping on friends' floors, you know, maybe you don't want to be staying at your parents' houses or family if they're offering. Like, how did you kind of look down the barrel of that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are multiple ways to do it. I mean, I think a lot of people... I think that leads a lot of people to perform a lot and take the gig money and you know, it's early on, like we were saying, like, you know, you kind of have to balance a lot. You know, Charlie worked in the food industry, and so did I. We were for sure sweating it out there for about 5 years, and then a time came where we had to tour more, and that's kind of when your question kind of comes into play. It's like, how do you function as a business? How do you keep people happy who you bring out? How do you keep yourself happy? I feel like we found a good balance of working really hard on tour and like keeping our team small while also taking care of ourselves. And the fact that we've kept our touring team small, I think allows us to take care of ourselves a little more. There's just a little more wiggle room. And yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a question we ask every day, you know, like how are we going to put our best foot forward? Like, how can we expand our streams of revenue? And it's really interesting to be a business owner or how it kind of turns into being a business owner and the challenges and the fun things that come with it, you know? So,
and you want to keep it fun. When you say like business owner, I think, okay, what business would I want to run? I'd want to run a sandwich shop.
Right.
That's the kind of, you know, if you kind of think of it like that, you know, it's we like, and 2024 after COVID, a lot of people are making trinkets and selling them on Etsy and all of this stuff. It's kind of it's become a bit more of a conversation out loud. People are like, yeah, I start my own business, you know? And we have these revenue streams, but it can be fun. Like the fun is one of the most important things.
Yeah. And often trying to piece it all together and like the puzzle pieces and trying to stay active and stay busy is also part of the fun. It, you know, keeps your brain moving and it keeps you active. But yeah, I mean, I think Charlie and I and our manager are pretty communicative, and I feel like we've found a good way to kind of function, like have conversations if things aren't working.
And working in the food industry, I mean, 5 years is a pretty long stint to do service stuff. I mean, I lasted a few months. People last 6 months and it feels like a year. You know, you get some gray hairs after that. Yeah, and you know, start smoking, you start, you know, living unhealthy.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I'll let Charlie talk. I'm hogging here, but I recently read like an Anthony Bourdain interview about like what's the thing you miss most about working in the industry, the service industry, and he said the first beer after a wild shift, and that's just the most real thing of all time.
The first beer during a wild shift.
Yes, exactly.
As soon as you get in.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I worked like 7-8 years on and off at a really chaotic ramen shop in Austin. And, you know, there's something about like power washing garbage cans at the end of the night that somehow lent itself to like the creative process. I can't explain how, but
yeah, there's something beautiful about like absolutely getting wrecked and being physically like wrecked a little bit and just like leaving it all there.
Yeah.
And then and then being able to go and like make music and kind of, but I've also heard like a lot of discussions about this, about like, about don't let like, you know, don't let your creative drive like get in the way of being able to provide for yourself. You know, when there's pressure on your art to make money, it often it's stifled or whatever. And I think that really was true, even though I didn't really know it at the time. Being able to like work super hard and then leave it all there, really was a special time to be able to like then just go home and like have no lingering worries, because you just kind of like show up, clock in, bounce, and being like a, you know, more involved in the music industry and being a business owner, there are times where you like, where you wish kind of that uncluttered mind, you could regain that in some way, you know. But
The service industry side of it's like a second life, isn't it? Because you are going there, you do become a bit of a non-person. You're there to say your lines and follow the script and maybe get treated badly, because that's the way that people, when they go eat and they go drink, you know, the server is kind of less than, not everywhere, but I think, you know, it's just kind of a fact of life, isn't it? And when I worked at the pub, there was something kind of beautiful about being like, I kind of live between the cracks right now. I'm a bit of a, you know, I'm a bit of like, you know, you kind of, you're not in the real world. You're kind of a subhuman in that place.
Exactly. Yeah. Ben, Charlie and I, for whatever reason, both ended up at places that always have long lines. So,
okay.
So you really do turn your brain off and just kind of go.
Mm-hmm. We went to an amazing barbecue place in San Antonio called Pinkerton's.
Cool. Yeah.
And it was probably the nicest barbecue I've ever had.
Awesome. Yeah. The barbecue across America, like everybody claims that it's all very different everywhere, but I can't wrap my head around it. I don't really understand the differences yet.
101 part-time jobs. Because Texas is, it feels very in the middle, doesn't it? Because you're sort of, to us as a British person looking over, you know, you're sort of close to California,
right?
And like that's a whole lifestyle. Playing, you know, booking shows and trying to tour and trying to, you know, get out of Austin. What was the story of that like for you? Like, was that a big step for the first shows outside of the state?
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Will, when we started the band, like I mentioned, we were looking up to a lot of the bands on the East Coast, like in the Northeast, and we had both played in bands in Austin. That it's a pretty insular scene. Like a lot of bands have success locally and don't really venture out and don't tour much. So when we started the band, we like were pretty dead set on doing a lot of touring and like not getting stuck in Austin. So we played our first show in Nashville, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I think.
And kind of bouncing off what Charlie just said, like we spent a lot of our early years in New Orleans as well, where when we had a bunch of friends who were in school there. And we absolutely loved kind of like the music scene there and became really close to a lot of people there through like
loads of underground shows there, right? Loads of DIY shows.
Yes, yes. And and it's still a really great place to go. And our friends Video Age are still there. And there's a ton of bands at the time that like were really a huge inspiration to us, as well as like the New York, the Philadelphia, like the East Coast, as Charlie was saying. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I feel like it was a goal to always stay active and be moving around, but it was fairly early on in our band that we were touring, at least like regionally. And so it felt like kind of a part of our band's beginning rather than like a huge thing we got to or whatever. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
You know, being a band for 10 years, I imagine, you know, I think a lot of people, when you create something, you want things to happen. You want things to happen now, you're hard and fast. But the irony of it is that the kind of the slower the growth I guess sort of like, you know, same as business, right? The slower the growth, the manageable the growth. That's smart because you realize what you're doing. You can try things. You can make mistakes and learn from them and maybe not massively be in the public eye when you make mistakes, when you're trying out different stuff. 100%. Has that been like a consistent thought along the years? You're like, we know what we're doing. You know, we're hungry, but it's the long goal, you know, it's the long journey.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the word slow burn gets used a lot in our band when we talk about the like trajectory and our career so far. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think we like conveniently think of that, like you said, as a positive thing, mm-hmm. but you know, we've seen a lot of bands like leapfrog us and it's just part of the hustle, you know?
And that's it. You think of people leapfrogging you, you know, you think mm-hmm. of it, you can't help but think of it like a competition sometimes, which is fucking not.
I think in every industry you find yourself doing that. I mean, I think the slow burn narrative is actually really valuable. It took me a long time to realize that, but for a lot of years, it kind of served as like a comforting statement for us to kind of like keep going, you know, mm-hmm. and to not get bogged down mm-hmm. By other people's success or by what we expected. And so I think I've now realized that we have created like a sustainable thing. But it had its challenges. I mean, cause I'm a very impatient person and I'm up and down at times, whether it being passionate about an idea or a song or something. And so to really like hunker down and be like 9-10 years into a business that's just like really has slow growth. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good for me as a person and great for our business, honestly.
It being like your fifth record, self-titled fifth record, is there, I mean, it's great for someone like me who discovered you 6 months ago and it's like, great, there's new stuff coming out and there's like a whole back catalog to go back into. You grow with a band, you grow with an artist. That's a special relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the growth is really like powerful, but also it's also really interesting when people like leave and then they might come back or something, you know, like mm-hmm. you kind of lose fans and then maybe get them back along the way. Yeah. You don't really know all that stuff, but it is interesting to, you know,
yeah,
look at it
big time. And 19 tracks is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a double album.
That's right.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Was that because you were able to, or you had the time? What were the pillars of being able to do 19 tracks?
Yeah, I mean, I think typically me and Will, we both bring songs. The way we make records is what we write the songs pretty much independently, and then we'll come together and, you know, share demos, and we'll have a batch of tunes of like, usually it is like 20 to 30 songs we're kicking around.
Damn.
But we, you know, we always feel like we should boil it down, you know, to like a normal sized record. And sometimes we think about the constraints of like a single LP, you know, time wise, mm-hmm. it's like 45 minutes or whatever. But with this record, you know, in addition to just like the more ambitious experimental like approach we took with Sarlo and Ben, you know, everyone, the whole crew was pretty adamant on like, let's not limit ourselves to anything, mm-hmm. you know, any time, any constraints.
We're in the Bandcamp generation. I mean, Bandcamp, you know, had that news recently, which is changing everything about it. But that's the way, like, people are listening on their phones, on their shitty laptop speakers.
Yeah.
And I guess there's I mean, you see more and more people do it, like Alex G. I think that's a big thing when you get into Alex G. You're like, damn, yeah. You've got this whole, like, you've got these bins worth of songs here to explore. Like, that for me plays into that, you know, what I mentioned, like that journey of being able to be like fully immerse yourself into this new band that you've loved, that you've discovered and you love.
Right, right. Yeah. Being able to listen to Does he have like 10 albums now or 11 albums now or something?
I don't fucking know. I don't think anyone needs to know. Yeah. It's just songs.
So yeah, true.
Yeah, it's probably like 15 or something. It's really wild.
What do you do to chill out when you're at home? I mean, what do you do to kind of calm down and take, because everything we've been talking about here, it's a lot of brain power. It's a lot of thinking. How do you get away from that and like give yourself a bit of time to let things mull or whatever, you know, let yourself decompress?
Yeah.
You go first, Will.
Well, I mean, you know, it's an interesting time in life. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and so a lot of my free time is spent with her, and we do kick it a lot for sure. You know, we'll do all kinds of stuff, but as far as like truly kind of unwinding, I mean, I love to be active and play tennis or basketball or something. And I know Charlie plays disc golf.
Disc golf.
Yeah. I'm a big Frisbee golfer.
Yes.
It's a blast.
I've never met anyone who does that. How did you get into it?
Austin, there was definitely like, it was pretty popular in Austin. I had a buddy that took me out like early days of college, and then I turned my brother on and he got like obsessed, like really good. So it's something we do together. And I'm living in St. Louis right now with me and my wife, and we're just here for a few years. So like, haven't made like a ton of friends. I don't really have like a whole crew out here. So I just something I do alone and walk around the woods. And it's great. It's free. It's like,
yeah,
it's very, it's a good sport. Like you just walk around the woods and it's cheap and
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. That's fun. I just kind of got back into, I support Watford, which is the town that Elton John's from, and he was the chairman of the football club. And they're such a bad football team, soccer team. But there's something about the regularity of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your brain just needs that kind of regularity that I think really, really helps. You know, even if the game is bad, it's nice knowing that it starts at 1 o'clock and it's over by 3 or whatever.
That's having great. Something. Real. That's very real. Yeah.
You know.
Baseball season just got started, so that's my thing.
Yes. So who are you following? Who do you support?
The Rangers, Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers.
And that's they go on for a few hours. Those games, you can have it on the background.
Yeah.
Shout at the TV.
And it's like every day. You know, almost every day.
And they've gotten a lot better, actually. They had a problem there for a while where the games were like 3.5-4 hours, but the last few years they restructured some rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the game's like 2.5 hours and they're just neat and tidy and just great. Yeah.
There's something very satisfying about the knock when someone hits a ball in baseball.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's very real. But not the college dings, though.
Is that so they use different bats today? They use the metal bats?
Correct.
Yeah.
Love that. Hey, thanks so much for being up for chatting about all of this, William and Charlie. The record sounds awesome. The singles are so good. The singles sound like, even in the few of them out of the 19 songs, they sound different. You know, there's a whole, they could be all like different bands playing those songs.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That was something we set out to do kind of with the singles, was to lay it all out there. And I think there's some stuff that still may surprise you on the record, which is fun. That's why it's so fun to include kind of everything, or most of everything we brought in, is that we also had the freedom to experiment, you know, with production stuff that we might have been more precious with 12 songs or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Part-time jobs. What was the biggest fuck up that you made at work? What was the biggest work gaffe?
Oh man. Mm. I spilt a bowl of ramen on a woman.
No.
Ouch.
A piping hot bowl of spicy miso ramen, but she was wearing scrubs. So it was actually perfect. She was super chill about it and it didn't like burn her.
Good. Good to hear.
But yeah, we
like the thin scrubs from like a nurse wears.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would just soak right through.
Yeah, you would think, but those things are built
Right. Not serious Danish.
Right.
That's funny. How did you react in that scenario? Do you remember, like, the heartbeat?
I was just horrified. Like we mentioned, it's just this packed, you know, line out the door, like music too loud, type restaurant. And we had these trays that we would carry the bowls on, and they were like, in the early days, they were really sketchy and like slippery. They had like no grip. So if you just had a slight tilt, and that's what happened, it just slid down the tray. Damn. And it wasn't a full bowl, but it was like a nice big pour of ramen on this poor woman.
How about you, William?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like nothing specifically. I think maybe more so the biggest mess up by my boss was to throw me on the flat top, like where you cook every, like they'll like where you drop all the food and like cook everything when I wasn't prepared or didn't understand that job at all.
Or certified.
Yeah, did not have the stripes or the experience to knock out the whole rack of tickets, but yeah, sometimes you just gotta do
it's
it.
It's like being in a band.
Right?
He's like, yeah, all right.
It's jazz.
It's jazz. Yeah. Miles Davis, there's no such thing as a wrong note. It's the note that comes next.
Such thing as an undercooked patty, though,
that's
for
right.
sure.
So there was William and Charlie from Howdy. Their new record, their fifth album, self-titled, comes out tomorrow. The singles are sounding excellent. Make You Proud is on my everyday playlist. Listen to this band, love this band, endure them. And cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. Next week, we've got episodes with Palehound and Scott Levine. Liverpool Sound City following that with Big Special and Catherine Priddy too. And then in the future, Molly Lewis and Lauren Mabry from Churches. So loads going on at 101 Part-Time Jobs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us, whether you're listening on Spotify or Apple, wherever you're hearing this. And looking forward to those next episodes. If you're an artist or you play in a band, you can put out your own music at a very cheap cost and make in all your own royalties on DistroKid. Head to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod and get 30% off your first year, joining 1 million other musicians and artists putting out their own records, taking their releases in their own hands and getting all the royalties for it. Go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. And if you've got a nephew, a friend, or a niece, or an uncle, someone who plays in a band, a colleague, let them know about DistroKid. It's the easiest way to put out your own music. I've done it and it was such a breeze. And if they go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod, they can get 30% off their first year.
101 Part-Time Jobs is hosted by Giles Bidder and produced by me, Olivia Swash. This has been a Mighty Moon Media production.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.